Hey, happy Saturday, you guys.
Yeah, quick pandemic update.
The pandemic update. Well, like I said, I think people are following the shit. I don't think we have to update it. People can read news if they want to.
Yeah.
We're just kind of talking about, I don't know, there's not really much going on in our local area. Like I said, we haven't really been out for a couple days, so I don't know,
everybody, how normal
everything is.
Everybody from the show sending me photographs of their local grocery stores. Yeah.
I don't really, you know, it's like
it's funny because, like, you know, there's plenty of food, but they're just buying it up. They're panicking.
Well, yeah, I said, no one can eat that much.
If you're not in California or New York or Chicago, I really wouldn't worry. I'm not even sure I'd really worry if I was. Maybe I'd worry if I was in California, but.
But I mean, if you already have food and supplies in your house, it would probably just do better to just stay where you were.
Yeah.
And then maybe later when you run out, or right. when you start to run out, then maybe go back out. Don't just go be buying up stuff that, like, other people might need just because you think you might need it and you already have
stuff. They're not letting people buy more than two things of toilet paper.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time. Because, like I said, I even checked because I was curious. We didn't need any toilet paper, but I was curious after everybody was freaking out about it. So I went to, like, a slightly less obvious website, which would be Staples, which, if you're not from the United States, is office supplies. And they had big packs of, like, 48 rolls of toilet paper or something like that. And they still had some, but they were also limiting it, and that was, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
So they've been doing that for a while. I think Sam's has been doing that. Last time, when did we drive by Sam's? We didn't go in Sam's, or we did, but only for a second. We were like, fuck this.
Bust some booze instead,
But we went to the liquor store next to it, and it was a madhouse on a Monday or a Tuesday, I think it was. It was, like...
Yeah, the checkout was big old long lines, and I was like, man, you know, they got an app.
And we didn't need a lot of things. I only needed, like, cat food and, like, one other thing. And I'm like, I can get that anywhere. I'm not dealing with this. Because I figured I'd be waiting in line for, like, hours and hours.
Yeah. My neighbor, as I was walking to the mailbox, my neighbor was standing out there. He's out there in his lawn chair, and I says, so you ready for this? And he's like, no, man. And I said, I warned you. And he goes, yeah, you told me. And I said, yeah, I told you to go get your shit.
He doesn't have any shit. So now he's going to be over
here. He's out there with his wife. He goes, yeah, but there's no food in the grocery store. Yeah. And he had all those kids. And I said, I told you. He goes, you ready? And he says, dude, I was ready weeks ago.
Like I said, we always have extra food.
Yeah, and he's like, man, I should have listened. And I said, yeah. And I was thinking, don't go over here asking for food.
I mean, we've had, like I said, we have a whole pantry full of stuff. We have a freezer full of stuff, and we've always had that. It didn't really happen.
Yeah, we always kind of had a good stock, just in case.
Yeah,
yeah, but it, you know, in a week or so, once the panic's over, it's just gonna be normal.
Like I said, I don't think it'll be really that big a deal. So one thing, because, like, hey, if you guys have anything you want us to talk about or questions you want us to answer or something like that, you can totally do that. You know, to give us ideas for these little daily shows that we're doing. So one person on YouTube, I think it was YouTube or Facebook, asked me to do book recommendations because I guess now that you can see all my bookshelves back, and these aren't even all my books. I have a bunch in my closet as well.
Damn stories.
Oh, yeah, and I have some up in the attic also.
Yeah.
Because I have so many.
Yeah, I had to get them shit. I had to get all that shit up there by myself, man. You were down there pushing on those big old boxes. I'm pulling.
Well, yeah. Well, it wouldn't have been much good for me to go up there, too. Yeah. The attic's not really big enough for, two people to go up there,
man. I felt like I was going to get attacked by that damn ghost that hung that dude up in the attic. Remember that one?
Oh, that's right. What shit? That was that.
Like that. I was expecting a damn rope to come down and get me.
That was that. That was in San Pedro, California, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it might have been. Yeah, I think I wrote about it in my book a while back.
That was the one they based the entity on.
Was it?
I think pretty sure.
No, I think that was two separate things.
Was it? But it was that same investigator.
Yeah, I think it was the same investigator. I mean, I might be remembering it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that those were two separate incidents. Maybe. I don't know. Really,
I kind of thought it was the same woman.
But... Yeah. No, I don't think it was. All right. But so somebody asked me to do book recommendations, so I might do that on some of these. I decided today I just kind of went around and plucked a few random books off of my shelves. I did a classic one, classic fiction. I did a more modern fiction, and I did a nonfiction because I have a lot of nonfiction, probably more than anything else. So the first one I'm going to recommend, if you have not read this, you should. This is a classic of gothic mystery literature. This is The Woman in White by Wilkie Collins. This book kicks ass. I was just so, so invested in this. I think I read it over one weekend, and look how long it is. Because I was just like, it's kind of like, it starts out as like sort of a ghost story, but then goes in kind of like a crime mystery, like poisoning type of thing. It does not surprise me in the least that this guy, who was actually a contemporary of Charles Dickens, and they were friends, this book outsold Charles Dickens by quite a large margin, like when it came out. And I'm not surprised. I have to say I like this a lot better than most of the Dickens that I've read. No, you know, it's like Dickens is okay, but I liked this much better. And there's also a book, I think it's by Robert Simmons, called Drood, that is about, it's like a fictionalized supernatural account of Wilkie Collins and Charles Dickens like fighting like a supernatural monster. I kind of wish they would make a Netflix series out of that, because I would watch the shit out of that. It would be fucking awesome. It's the same author that did The Terror, you know, that was on A&E. Also, this is another fiction. I just found this book fucking randomly. I think it was in Barnes & Noble, because I used to go to Barnes & Noble and, like, troll the, you know, the front part where they have, like, all those hardbacks and stuff that they're selling off for cheap, like, once the paperback comes out. I had actually never heard of this guy, but this book is fucking amazing. It's called The Church of Dead Girls. And it's kind of like, it's like a murder mystery that takes place in like a small town in upstate New York. And it's like this woman that's found with like no hand. And then like all these girls start turning up. And then he's really good at like kind of ramping up the tension. You know what I mean? And like everybody starts getting paranoid about that somebody in the town is a killer. And like they start doing vigilante shit and like all this other kind of stuff. But it's really, really good. It's you know, the suspense just builds up and builds up. I actually liked this so much that I bought another one of his books called Boy in the Water, which is also excellent. I need to read more of his stuff, because he's written a shit ton of novels and poems and stuff too. I think he's slightly better known as a poet, but he's written a lot of novels as well. And this is my nonfiction, and I love the shit out of this book, and I wish somebody would make a movie out of this shit, because I would watch the shit out of that also. This is called Strapless, and this is a biography of the woman who posed for the very famous John Singer Sargent portrait called Madame X, which I've actually seen in New York, and it's amazing. But this woman's life is just, it's so fascinating to me. She was just like, she's from New Orleans, she was a Creole, and she was kind of like, I want to say like one of the Kardashians of her time, you know what I mean? Because she just was kind of like a society girl who was really known well for, she had this like super, super pale skin, and she had this like really striking look, and like the way she dressed and everything like that. So she was like kind of high up in society, and she was also kind of a snot a little bit. And she was in some other artists painted her too, just because she was super famous. And it's funny because this portrait ruined her life, which is very funny because you wouldn't think about it now because it's so, but the little strap, the reason this book is called Strapless is because the little strap that's off of the dress, that was a huge fucking deal when this portrait was first displayed like to the public. Everybody flipped the fuck out because they thought, oh well, that's like when the strap comes off, like she's just had sex and put the dress back on, or she was getting ready to take it off. So it was like this humongous scandal, and she had to like basically go into hiding, and it's like she flipped out so much that she like had to get rid of all the mirrors. She wouldn't look at herself anymore, and like, damn, all this other kind of stuff. So it's like there's
back when people gave a fuck.
Yeah. So there's like some fictional novels, because I've read a couple of those kind of about it, but this is like the, you know, the nonfiction like biography of her, and it's really, really good. And like I said, I wish somebody would make it into a movie, because I think it would be really awesome. She's just like a fascinating. She's not a likable person, but she's a really interesting person. You know what I'm saying?
I guess aside from that, we're watching the Elvis movie.
Yes, Dominic sent us that John Carpenter
Elvis movie. Yeah, John Carpenter's Elvis movies. That came out, what, 1977, 78?
It was between, like, I looked it up earlier curious. It was it was after Halloween, but before The Fog. So okay. Halloween was 78, so it's like 79?
Okay, 79.
80? Something like, when did The Fog come out? 79 or 80? So it was somewhere in there. And it's funny because I think Rob sent me a link, And he's like, some website somewhere had like ranked every John Carpenter movie, like from best to worst or whatever. And some of the movies in there, I had forgotten that he had directed them.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like a Carpenter movie. It's very straight laced. It's almost kind of like a documentary in a way. It's like
no frills. And that's not like a criticism. Yeah,
and it's
at
long.
All.
It's like 3.5, almost 4 hours long.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was like Salem's Lot length.
Yeah. And it's good though. It's accurate. It's very accurate based on everything that I've read and heard about the King. I call him the King. having a heritage, you know, from Mississippi.
Lived in Mississippi, kind of have to.
Well, yeah,
it's
you know
the
what
law.
I mean?
You
if
have
you're
to
rooted
refer to
in
Elvis.
Mississippi, you know, you have to understand that Elvis is a deity. He's like a religious deity. You know, he's up there with Jesus, and not exactly there, but it's almost kind of like John the Baptist.
He's like one notch below.
Yeah, like John the Baptist. You know, and his three different incarnations. You know what I mean? Because he returned as Orion,
that's
and
right.
Billy Idol.
Sure, or Glenn Danzig if you want to go. If you want to go a little
were sequels,
out there,
there were sequels to Elvis. Yeah,
Elvis 2, Electric
Elvis 2. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really liking it. I didn't realize because I should have because it was made for TV, but it was a TV miniseries. So I'm assuming it aired like over 2 or 3 nights, like I said, like Salem's Lot did. So we just started watching it. We're watching it, and then like we paused it like to go to the bathroom or something like that. I'm like, holy crap, this still has like 2 hours left, and we've like, I think it's like 4 hours long.
What I liked about it is that it reminded me and kind of put into a context of how retro Elvis was. He was retro even back when he was
young.
In the day, he was retro. I mean, he took his parents with him wherever he went.
Yeah, you true.
Know what I mean? You know, he buys a brand new mansion. He puts mom and dad and grandma up at Graceland with him, living in there. Today, a celebrity wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'd be like, you buy a house and
you
like
buy a separate house for them.
Yeah, you guys go live over there and don't visit me.
Not Elvis. Elvis was very family oriented. He had to be in his mama's face all the time.
Yeah, Shelley Winters plays his mom in this.
He was kind of a mom's boy.
A little bit. And they do show that in this, and it's a little bit weird, but not in a creepy way. It's just more kind of like, I don't know.
He was like a Victorian or somebody from another country.
Yeah. It was kind of heartwarming, but also from a modern perspective, it's kind of weird. Yeah. But I think Kurt Russell makes a really good Elvis. He's not doing the singing in this one because we looked that up.
Somebody else does it. It sounds just like Elvis.
It really does. It sounds a lot like him. But
there are a couple scenes where Russell kind of lays it on a little thick where it's an Elvis impersonation.
Like a little bit like a caricature.
He says mumble too much. Too many times in a damn sentence. in a sentence, and it's just. But it is kind of, you know, he did a really good job. He looks a lot like Elvis, man.
I never realized until they gave him like the pompadour hair and like even like especially like his profile and stuff like that when he was real young like that.
Yeah, but he was in the army.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, he does really look a lot like Elvis now that I'm thinking about it. You know, it's funny, it's like we were watching the movie. This happens to us all the time because we're getting old and it'll happen to you youngsters too. But we'll be watching a movie and we'll see like an actor in there and we'll be like, God damn it, we just saw them in something. It's like, remember what I was talking about in Satanic Panic? Like the girl that played Judy, it was bugging me the whole time because I'm like, I just saw her in a fucking movie. Yeah, what was it? And I had to look it up and it was Happy Death Day.
Yeah, well, one of Elvis's old girlfriends from Memphis that he never really sees again once he leaves. Remember?
Yeah, Bonnie, I think the character's name is.
Turns out Bonnie played Dale Arden in Flash Gordon.
Yeah, because the whole time, we're like, who the fuck is that? I was like, I know I've seen her. Like I said, I've seen her in a movie that I've seen a bunch of times. I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking 80s slasher movie, because I've been watching a lot of those recently. I'm like, maybe she was in Prom Night, not Prom Night, but something like that. And then finally, I told him, I was like, pause the movie, look it up on IMDb, because this is going to drive me crazy for the rest of the movie.
Another thing I liked about the movie is that they left the paranormal elements to Elvis Presley in there. And there is some paranormal shit with Elvis. Elvis, because... swore that his mother knew exactly what he was doing no matter where he was.
And they did like bring that up in the movie, which I thought was kind of cool. Gave him a little bit of a mystical.
His mom would call him, you know, and says, it was, you know, I dreamt there was a fire and that the women were ripping your clothes off. And he goes, yeah, they did have mom.
His car overheated. And
yeah,
like,
there's all, you know, and then another one that was kind of paranormal is that, you know, his twin died.
Yeah.
I think at birth, wasn't it? Or just right after
when he was a baby.
So he evidently talked to this ghostly twin.
Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse. And he felt that Jesse was with him, and his mom believed that basically, his mom believed that Elvis had two souls in him.
Yeah.
Or the power of two souls. So there's just some weird shit, you know. It's like some stuff that would happen. Now, that must be Amazon.
Yeah.
Why don't you pause? Ringing. Yeah, okay, that was a Amazon delivery. But yeah, I like the fact that they left kind of some of the paranormal stories associated with Elvis. I mean, you know, growing up in Mississippi for the summers, I'd run into kids, you know, like I think I told this story before.
Yeah, they
actually thought he could cause it to rain.
Yeah.
And 'cause that's what their parents told them.
I just thought, and I think I mentioned this when we were talking about it before, I thought that's such a weird, like, a weirdly specific superpower, like, to impute to Elvis. You would think that, I don't know, I don't know if Elvis had a superpower, what would it be, like, that had something to do with his Elvisness? Rain would not be the first thing that would occur to me. I'm not sure what would occur to me.
Later on, as his career started to kind of wind down, you know, he started to sing gospel.
Yeah.
So that kind of, so a religious element got cast over Elvis.
Yeah.
In the Deep South.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it kind of merged. He became mythical.
Oh, yeah,
and then
definitely.
Once he died, you know what I mean, they thought that maybe he would come back where he wasn't dead. And then you had Elvis impersonators who were really good releasing albums, you know, and Orion was like one of the best ones. You guys can go on YouTube and look up Orion, you know, Elvis impersonator. And he sounds just like Elvis. I mean, just like it.
Yeah,
he wore a mask, so you couldn't tell.
It's creepy.
He wore a mask, so you couldn't tell it wasn't Elvis. But people were holding out that maybe it was Elvis.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting story.
There's a documentary about it. I don't know if you can still get it anymore. I don't even remember where we saw it, because that was a while back. But yeah, it's really good. We've talked about Orion before, but yeah.
Yeah, and the albums kind of had resurrection themes and occult themes on them.
Yeah.
Because to try to insinuate to people that he had risen from the grave.
Yeah.
Which that's some weird shit when you think about it.
I do kind of feel like that's in 1,000 years, Elvis will have a whole religion
around him.
Probably.
Right. People were going to see him and they were kind of wanting to believe that.
Yeah.
That he had risen
from
the grave.
Wouldn't that be funny? Now I want a time machine just
like that. Yeah, and that shit worked in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then later, as soon as he took the mask off and told everybody who he really was, his career was over. And then he bought a pawn shop and got killed in a pawn shop.
And got shot in a fucking robbery.
Got shot in a robbery during a pawn shop. They came in and robbed his pawn shop. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a happy story.
No. But he was a great singer.
I forgot his name, though.
I just call him Orion.
Yeah, that's what everybody called him.
Orion, yeah.
I'll think of it in a minute, but yeah. If you guys, cause everybody, I think everybody that knows me knows, like, I'm a big, Nick Cave fan, and, he had a song called Tupelo, which is on his album, The Firstborn is Dead, which is also a reference to Elvis's twin brother.
Yeah.
And the whole theme of the song Tupelo is like about, Elvis's twin brother dying, Elvis taking upon himself the both good and evil aspects, like the twin soul thing, like his mom was talking about, and it also makes like a Jesus mythology out of him also. So it's very prevalent, so prevalent that, like, you know, Nick Cave, who is Australian, in case you didn't know,
Tupelo isn't very far from where my dad was born and where I was going for the summers, but there's nothing there. There's nothing in Tupelo.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything in Tupelo during the time when Elvis was there.
I had a friend that lived there in the 70s or 80s, but they moved away when she was pretty young.
It's like little farmhouse type things. The downtown area is very small.
Yeah, it's only downtown
our little enclosed community here dwarfs downtown.
It's bigger than downtown Tupelo.
Yeah. I remember it mostly just being a square.
Yeah.
Roads in a square with a park in the middle and just... like two some big like dollar stores and shit around. Yeah, it's like a dollar store.
Yeah, I've been to towns like that.
Yeah, dollar store.
There's a lot of towns like that.
Like a little hardware store.
In the Southwest, too.
Yeah, and there might be like a Piggly Wiggly grocery store.
Yeah.
It's small.
It's like, I have that Piggly Wiggly bag down in my desk.
Some people don't believe that exists. That's a reality.
I didn't know they were still around, but I got a bag from it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take... Now, next time we go to the grocery store, I'm going to take my Piggly Wiggly bag.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting.
But that was the last time I saw it. You know, if anybody's from Tupelo, I'm sure you can look at it on Google Earth now, but...
Yeah.
From the last time I saw it, you know, that was even before I was in the Army.
Yeah, so that was a long time ago.
It's a long time ago, so I don't know what it's like now, but There was nothing there. I haven't heard of it. Remember anything being there. Maybe there's more to it, and I didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that I drove right down through the middle of the downtown. My dad, I think, drove me through there.
It might only be famous nowadays because that's where Elvis is from.
Yeah, there's probably a statue in there, but I don't really remember it. Probably shrines.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be very surprised if there wasn't.
It was real slow and sleepy when I went through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you haven't seen it, like John Carpenter...
It's a good movie.
...made a TV movie. A TV miniseries.
We haven't seen that final one-third of it.
We just watched like the first... I think we watched the first 2 hours, and right. I think there's like an hour and a half left.
Right.
Or something like that. It's pretty long.
It's when he tries to reboot his career after his mama died. Yeah.
And his mama cried. In the ghetto.
Yeah.
We're so silly. All right. You want to knock off for Saturday? Because we got some other shit
we got to do the show later on.
And we're going to, actually later on tonight, we're going to make some cocktails and do the show.
Set the studio up. Do the show.
Yeah, well, actually, you have to like hang my cool mirror and stuff like that in that gap back there.
Yeah.
We'll have to hang that up so it'll be in the background. That'd be kind of neat. All right, so we'll talk to you guys again later.